I know there was a big deal with this budget being released by the state Senate Democrats. Boy, can you tell us about that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's a big budget proposal. It was just released yesterday. We basically, as a legislature, had already approved the current two-year budget for 2021 to 2023. We approved that last legislative session, but we usually come back in these shorter sessions and make modest adjustments to the existing budgets. Well, the revenues are up, and there's an appetite for more spending as well. So the current budget that we're operating under is a $59 billion two-year budget, and the proposal from yesterday from Senate Democrats is to bring that up to $64 billion, so from 59 to 64. In fact, the House Democrats just released their budget proposal, too, and they want to increase it even more to $65 billion. So it is a significant increase. Obviously, they see it as a lot of important investments. My main concerns is that we don't have an adequate reserve account in the state of Washington to be able to handle an economic downturn in future years. So I think it is important, even if we spend some of that additional revenue that's coming in, that we adequately save so that our state system that's so dependent on the sales tax anyway, if there is an economic downturn in future years, we could weather that without drastic budget cuts. Mm-hmm. But if these two budget proposals from the House and the Senate are any indication, we're probably going to be spending to the max again this year.
So no tax relief in sight. Taxpayers can count on that.
Nope, no tax relief. And that's why I thought my idea was kind of a compromise. A lot of the Senate Republicans, and I think the House Republicans, we want some tax relief. There's been some rising pressures from inflation, from gas, from food. And so having some tax relief, especially when the revenues are up, it really made a lot of sense to keep our economy strong, get some dollars back into our pocketbooks of the job creators and the working people. But it doesn't appear as if that's going to happen. So what we could do really is build up our reserve account. But it doesn't appear as if we're going to be taking significant steps in that regard. But one of the things the operating budget does do, one of the reasons it's proposing to spend significantly more, is because it factors in a $2 billion one-time transfer to the transportation system to fund with their Move Ahead Washington statewide transportation investments. And so that particular proposal is kind of tied into this one because that transportation package counts on this one-time transfer from the operating budget. It also counts on federal one-time dollars from the infrastructure bill that President Biden signed in November. And then it also factors in some revenues from the previously approved Climate Commitment Act. So I think this operating budget is going to be big, and this transportation investment package is also big, but they're somewhat connected together.
Now, when we spoke last, we were talking about the fact that a good part of North Central Washington and Eastern Washington were somewhat left out of that package. You were hoping for some amendments. Any progress there?
Well, not so far on actually securing those additions, although the conversations we've had with the Democratic budget leaders, both the Senate Democratic transportation leaders and the House Democratic transportation leaders, have been really promising. The package itself does make substantial investments in certain areas of the state, but does, as you mentioned, kind of it leaves this donut hole in much of the Republican areas of the state. I think getting the Wenatchee's Confluence Parkway project funded, for example, would go a long way to plugging that donut hole. Mm-hmm. But it kind of remains to be seen whether we can get that in. I still think there is a possibility. Wenatchee Mayor Frank Kuntz and I have been working hard. Congresswoman Kim Schreier. I've been in communications with Representatives Steele and Gaynor, Richard DeRock from the Link Transit organization, and then also Jeff Wilkins from the Chelan Douglas Transportation Council. We've all been working on this. The Confluence Parkway project is a $134 million project, but we already have $49 million in a federal grant towards that project. So it leaves $85 million unfunded. And when you think about the size and scope of these transportation package that's moving through the process. $85 million is not unachievable, so I'm still hoping that that might be possible.
As you mentioned, Representative Steele is in the thick of it with the capital budget. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the capital budget is capped and limited, so it's the smallest of the budgets, and we passed a really good capital budget last year for the 2 years. So I think the adjustments for capital are actually going to be somewhat modest this year because the revenues are up for operating, but for capital's sake, it's kind of fixed. But I've been in conversations with Rep. Steele. We have some very important projects for the 12 districts, and I'm hoping that we can kind of get them funded. What I do like about having Representative Steele in such a prominent role is if I can kind of get something included in the Senate's capital budget, even as a starting point, there's a good chance Rep. Steele can help us get it across the finish line or even increase the funding a little bit. So Representative Gaynor and myself, we're always, you know, like cheering on Representative Steele when it comes to it, because he's one of the handful of people in the room to finalize the capital budget. And he works really hard. I think we all do as a legislative team. But when it comes to something like this, it's, you know, we're in a really enviable position as a district to have Representative Steele in that position. So I'm as guilty as all of us of trying to squeeze something in the budget and then pass it over to Rep. Steele and say, you know, take it the end zone. But, you know, that's what we're trying to do on some things. And we do try to coordinate as best we can. But life's been really busy. You know, the House members have been going till 3 a.m., 6 a.m. on some days, or mornings, I should say. And the Senate have been pulling late nights, too. I've probably been working about 12 hours a day pretty consistently for several weeks. I took the afternoon of Super Bowl Sunday off, although admittedly I did return phone calls at halftime. So that's just a little glimpse into how things have been this session for me anyway.
And then you'll be heading to Olympia here shortly.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to get there for the final week. Right now they've lifted some of the restrictions. We still have a daily testing requirement. It's taken a really long time to test. And then when we go to the Senate floor, we still have to wear masks and distance. And then when we can't go into the caucus room. We have to go back to our office and caucus remotely. So it's really only the floor action right now that is partially available. But I'm hoping that maybe there might be a chance I can get over there to Olympia, even though it's a long drive and go through all the testing and all that, but to still make it to the Senate floor and have those floor debates kind of reminisce of what it was like a couple years ago. You know, that'd be kind of nice to get some semblance of normalcy back.
Absolutely. Any final thoughts you'd like to share on this Tuesday morning?
Well, it's budget season, rabbit season, budget season, you know, that sort of thing. We're hoping to get these budgets resolved by March 10th. I'm hoping to get some of my bills across the finish line between now and then, too. But if people have any questions, they can always reach out to me in my office through my website at senatorbradhawkins.org.